Good morning, 6:06. Is that game over yet? Yeah, we'll be spending some time on that. TSN Mornings on TSN 1200 is on the air. It's Lloydie, it's Creecher, it's Hammer. Oh, wait a minute. It's midweek, Hammer. Counting the days again, are we? I bet you are.
It's
See
been
you
a rough
later.
One.
Oh, yeah. 10 a.m. Friday. Hammer's, you know. See you later. Bye-bye. That's okay. It's
you
okay.
You know what? As the kids would say, you're just a little jelly right now. You're a little jealous. Yeah. That's what's going on here.
Oh, I'm having too much fun with you guys, you know? Okay? No way. I want this to continue. You're abandoning us because Creature and I are back next week as well. Good morning, Graham Creech. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, man.
I'm getting used to this now, I think.
That was epic. Yeah. Wow, you sound awake, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed.
Energetic.
Yeah.
You don't sound like a guy that hung in for the Vegas Hawks game, and I didn't either
entire
thing.
I didn't. Okay. I decided, you know what? Typically, there's no way I'd miss it. I just decided with me at the beginning of this kind of trek here that I'll save those ones for bigger games.
Yeah.
Like, this time next week when someone could be going home, leaving the tournament, that's when I'll pull my all-nighter or get like 3 hours sleep or whatever it is JR gets on the late games.
I watched until, there were three relatively quick goals, right? And when it was 2-1, I just couldn't make it anymore. I started to do the nods. I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
So I'm done. So I watched it into the second period, longer than I thought I would. And, you know, for people that don't know, if you go to NHL.com after games, you can find the extended highlights. They put the game on. It's like 9 minutes of highlights. So you can watch all the stuff that, you know, you wouldn't see in the regular highlight pack if you're watching SportsCenter as well. So there you go. Pro tip. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You can and if you have even less time, you can choose which goals you want to see or which
exactly.
highlights you want to see.
Hey, if a regular wrap up to a game is about 7 minutes, what's the wrap up to the Lightning Columbus game? Is that around 17 minutes?
Ooh, you know what?
I'm a little curious on that because there was a lot of action in those OTs. There was a lot of action in the original 60 minutes. I'll call it game one. Some good action in game two.
I didn't.
That's a good question.
I did not bother looking because I'd seen enough of that game. I didn't need to see the extended highlights.
No reminders?
Oh, man. Okay, let's go through it here. So this game, the puck drops shortly after like 3:06, whatever, right? 3 o'clock puck drop. And the thing goes into five overtimes. It becomes the fourth longest game in NHL history. So I started watching at 3 o'clock. And then you start to quickly get into, you know, you're thinking about, well, supper's got to get on the table. So I was barbecuing, fellas, okay? So some chicken thighs.
Nice.
Just started doing that. Da da da. Timed it for one of the intermissions that, you know, I would actually eat as well. Okay, because I want to watch. And came back, and it was ridiculous. You lose
Hang on.
Track.
Hang on.
You lose track of time.
Hang on.
Yeah.
You can't watch and eat.
I'm sitting with my family at the dinner table, okay?
Okay.
Who I've been neglecting all day.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I thought you just meant like, I don't know, you have your spot, your table where you eat, and you...
No, no, no.
You can't watch playoff hockey with
your
food.
I wanted to make sure that I sat there and, you
so
know...
So you timed family dinner. That's what you should have phrased it as.
Yeah, there you go.
You timed your family dinner for intermission?
And I wolfed it into me, of course.
Nice
okay.
move,
I wasn't there very long, okay? Well, that's going
like-
to go...
We're kind of like you too, Stevie. Usually the TV is not allowed to be on during dinner, but there are special occasions.
Same. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
And this was definitely one of them where we were watching the game and eating dinner because my oldest was into it. I was into it. Even my wife was like, this is crazy. This is nuts. We're doing all this stuff. Every TV I'm walking into in any room, I've got the game on because there's still some chores to be done at the old Hamer homestead, but I still made time to make sure I could watch as much as possible of these OTs.
Well, this is where, and that's excellent answer. Very good. Appreciate it. But this is where Ian and I have had this discussion many times. We are kindred spirits. Okay. We both live in homes where everybody else is, excuse me, all out of bleeps to give about watching sports. Okay. We are on islands in our place. So if my family was into it more, would have made it a bit easier to have that kind of an environment. But I'm the only one. Everybody else is oblivious.
Well, my youngest is asking, does there have to be a winner? Can they just stop this game? And I was starting to wonder, yeah, are they just going to stop this game? Because we're getting so late for the Bruins and Canes. I thought, well, maybe they'll just stop this game and they'll just continue it tomorrow, which is today. But then they did sort of that decision by, all right, we're going to cancel the Bruins and Canes and we're going to play that bad boy at 11 a.m. on Wednesday morning. This morning.
I was thinking the same thing. Just as that intermission started, I'm like, all right, are they going to make a call here? And then like, within a couple of minutes, a tweet came out from NHL Public Relations that, yeah, they've postponed the game, and the Canes and Bruins will be playing their first game of that series at 11 this morning. And, Creature, I thought right away, I was thinking, maybe they should have said 10. Murphy's Law, could we have another long game? Because the next, you know...
that's a good point.
The way things go, because you want to give yourself as much runway as possible, you would think today, so you don't run into the same problem again. But anyways, should be okay. Famous last words.
I actually, I didn't plan dinner out during an intermission, but it happened that way. The family dinner, it was between the third and the first overtime, and during like making dinner, the prep for it, I guess near the end of the third, I was in and out of where the TV is, so I had it really loud so I could hear it when I wasn't there. And I'll say I did bath time with the game on my phone. So I had my phone in the bathroom with the game on as the girls were
nice
hanging out in the bathtub, and then was able to watch. But I told you yesterday, Lloyd, you asked me in the Odd Shark line of the day, could Columbus win? And I said no, because it's too much of a quick turnaround with their series win over Toronto. So I told you they just had absolutely no chance in that game.
Well, Creature, I should never doubt you.
Go ahead, Steve.
I just had a quick bath time question.
Yes.
Because, you know, I went through a stage. My girls are close enough in age that they did the double bath time once upon a time as well.
Yeah.
Anybody dump on the tub yet?
No. Thanks no? for asking, because okay. now I've, right. like, but no, I've Good that's night. Never okay. happened. That's,
that kind of ruins bath time. Takes the glow off it. Creature.
Oh, man. It's never happened. Somebody was showing me, I don't even remember who it was, one of my buddies, I guess, and showed me a picture like last week of like an absolute gong show of a bathtub. I couldn't even believe that happened. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, that's never happened to me yet. So now in the last 2 weeks, I've said it's never happened twice. So, of course, it's going to be bound to happen. I'll keep you posted. I'll send you a picture. It isn't? Okay, good.
Kids. No, I don't think anybody's had a little baby Ruth going on in the bathtub.
Little Bill Murray cleaning the pool in Caddyshack.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Oh, man. Now, go ahead, Hammer.
I'm just curious now, because you two, I mean, you guys were all over the Blue Jackets winning this series.
Yes.
You guys were so far into it. Any sobering second thoughts after game one of the Blue? Because I was all lightning. I was all lightning on this. This is where we differed yesterday.
Yeah.
Any second thoughts after that dramatic game?
Yes. I'm not going to lie. I mean, that's the schedule was already tight for the Blue Jackets as it was, right? They played a lot of hockey in the last week in a pit. And now you play that much hockey in game one. Oh, man. And they're a team that you like a lot. You can say this about a lot of NHL teams this time of year. You rely more on key guys, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, Seth Jones and Zach Werenski played over 60 minutes each last night. So, yeah, I'm having some reservations about my Jackets pick now. Is, you know, how much gas is left in the tank? Because the other thing about that game last night, as we're all watching it. It's, you know, the Jackets had their moments, and it wasn't a total steamroll, but, man, the Lightning carried more of the play. And Korpisalo was absolutely brilliant, and the Lightning, how many times did they set up a nice three-way passing play, set the guy right up, and somebody shoots it wide as well, right? And maybe that's you trying to be too fine because Korpisalo's playing so well. You got to give credit to the goalie even on those ones. But is that going to happen again, right? Are we going to see Korpisalo play out of his mind like he did yesterday into last night again in this series?
Man, some of those saves he made, too, in overtime, like one-timers and just unbelievable. That's got to be pretty deflating to lose that game. Like, you always talk about the winners and remembering that forever, and you'll be able to tell stories of that game like 20 years from now. Like, you don't really want to remember much of that if you're on the losing end of that. Like, I don't know how much of an impact it carries over into game two. Maybe not much at all, but still, that's got to be big time deflating.
It looked like the Blue Jackets' reaction was that they had just lost game seven of the Stanley Cup final. They looked completely dejected, tired, wasted, finished, done, spent, that they had nothing left. So it's going to be really interesting. Nick Foligno always talks about the heart of the Blue Jackets and how everybody's got each other's back in that dressing room. So it'll be interesting to see how this team bounces back for game two tomorrow.
I believe in my pick still.
You're not jumping ship.
No, I don't flip-flop.
I'm not jumping ship. I'm just saying I'm doubting myself now. I'm still saying Jackets. I'm not changing my pick, but oof.
We're not pulling Jackuflops over here.
No, might be an attrition issue here as well. You know, guys get that tired. Who's going to get hurt? Anyways, where was I going to go with this next? I wanted to go back to, when I'm setting things up, right, when I say timing dinner, so the intermission. Anybody up yet? My wife will be up soon here. She's got to get to work. So I just want to make sure. No, she's not listening.
You're about to win.
Just go for it. You're in the clear.
She's not listening. It's okay. Now, because nobody cares in my house but me to watch sports, the way you set this up is she keeps asking, right? Because she's working on, you know, side dish in the kitchen, and I'm barbecue guy, okay? And you keep getting the call. Is it ready yet? Oh, no, it's going to be a little bit longer. No, I'm watching. It's like, all right, there's 2 minutes left in this period. No, not quite yet. And then it was a miracle. It was ready exactly on like when that period ended.
Wow,
exactly.
Look at that.
Hey?
Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing.
Yeah, extremely amazing, Steve. Incredible timing.
Oh, man.
With those thighs.
When we come back, I've got to – don't answer me now, both of you here. Where do you stand on – I'll phrase it as the non-call towards the end of the game. On the breakaway opportunity for Cam Atkinson. We'll touch on that as well. And, I want to hear from you on this game. As that 12-1200, epic game, fourth longest in NHL history. Our web poll question is centered around that as well. We'll hit on that next. Still to come later today, we've got five games now. Five opening games because the Bruins-Carolina game was postponed. They'll drop the puck at 11 this morning. Then we got the four scheduled games starting at 3 this afternoon. And tonight, the Montreal Canadiens at 8 will play the Philadelphia Flyers as part of the five games. John Liu covers the Habs. John will join us shortly after 9 from the Edmonton bubble. Called both Western games, obviously, from NBC Sports. Pierre McGuire will be by for his regular visit shortly after 8. All still to come on TSN Mornings on TSN 1200. End of the epic game that went into 5 overtimes with the Lightning coming out on top. 3-2, Braden Point with that overtime winner. And, you know, the kind of goal that it was as well was, as the game wears on, you knew it was going to be something maybe funky like that. So it goes high off Gavrikov. He's injured, has to turn away as he's hurt, and puck lands right on Point stick. He just puts it on goal. Great placement of his shot, kind of through a mini screen as well, and as pretty much you got the feeling that was the only way you were going to beat Korpisalo on something like that. So why don't we roll through some of the sound from last night's game that Hammer has procured for us. So why don't we start, Hammer? Let's hear the three game-ending calls. I think it's always neat when there's an epic game like this to hear how it sounded. So first up, let's hear the game-winning goal, Braden Point from Columbus Radio.
Takes it out to the blue line again. Kucherov with a shot, and that doesn't make it. Another shot, and that hits Gavrikov up high, And here's a shot and a score. The Tampa Bay Lightning do finish it off. Braden Point finally gets a puck that goes by Jonas Corposalo.
Columbus Radio, as you could well imagine. And a score. All right. I'm surprised it didn't wrap. Just goes, well, and we'll see you for game two. Bye-bye. We're wrapping up right now. There's no post-game show. All right, let's go to Tampa Radio. Here's Braden Point's game-winning goal.
Braden Point to the left circle. He'll peel toward the center point. Keeps it in for Kucherov. Right circle shot blocked. Rebound Sergachev. Right circle Kucherov. Shoots blocked. Point high slot. Shoot! Score! 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 Braden Point! Braden Point! Braden Point! The Lightning win it! They win it in the fifth overtime!
There's Dave Mishkin, who was a guest on TSN 1200 with AJ and Dean yesterday. So a little more emotion for obvious reasons. And finally, here's Gord Miller, who did the game for NBC.
Still on a point. Across the Kucherov with a shot blocked by Savard. Now Kucherov fires again, hit Gavrikov up high. Another chance for Point, scores! Braden Point ends it! And the Tampa Bay Lightning take an epic game one in five overtimes.
All right, so there you go. There's the three different calls from the way that game ended. Now, Creature, I got to ask you this. As you're watching that game unfold, because you got to remember, this is weird. There's no fans in the stands here. You're not getting that kind of ambiance. But I got to say, as it went on, you know, I'm so locked into how crazy the game is and how long it's going and Corposalo and all that. It didn't really bother me at all. Did you really notice as you're watching it?
With the fan noise?
Yeah, with no fans in the rink, and it's just different watching games. Like I think it's been awesome so far, better than I expected.
Yeah,
watching these games on TV, and for an epic game like that, it really didn't make a difference for me.
No, it didn't. I didn't think the five overtime game would change it for me, because I just watching the rest of the playoffs, I thought, okay, what is this going to be like with no fans in a big moment? But it's like I almost didn't notice. I missed that the fans aren't there, but it's not taking away from the game whatsoever. Like, if there's a pressure-packed moment, like, you're still feeling it, and I'm barely noticing that there's nobody there. Like, you can feel it on the ice. And I'll say, I wasn't sure, watching other sports, like, I hated when the Jays played in Toronto, their exhibition games or their inter-squad games, I absolutely couldn't stand the crowd noise. I thought it sounded so canned and just brutal. But the NHL has done an amazing job, in my opinion, with the crowd noise. Like, it feels real. The type of noise you're hearing is, like, it's appropriate to what just happened, whether it was, like, a really close chance or just a mediocre chance. Like, they seem to nail it every time, and it's, like, it's
subtle.
Right away, too.
It's like, not over the top.
It's
right?
So good. It's so good. And I didn't expect it to be like that. I'm like, this might be a little annoying, but I love it. So now, watching a five overtime game, obviously it would be cool if there were people there. But no, it's not taking away from the hockey at all.
All right. Our web poll question of the day that Hammer has put live for us here. Simply put here, so basically we're asking, do you like the way it is, or would you like something different, right? Whatever that is, you know, 4-on-4, down the 3-on-3, the dreaded shootout, I guess you could throw that in. But here it is. Should the NHL playoff overtime be continuous 5-on-5? It's a yes or a no. I'm going to guess that we're going to get a lot of votes for yeses, being here in Ottawa, right? A lot of hockey purists, I would say, saying yes. Now, so this is kind of an obvious question to ask, but I sent this to you guys just in case you missed it late last night. Mike Milbury decided to chime in. Okay.
He's having a rough tournament.
Oh, say the least. Mike Milbury, okay, who, you know, he's taken some over the years from his time. Well, it started with the shoe incident as a player in the stands, and then some of his time really as the general manager of the Islanders, because, you know, he was with the Bruins in a coaching capacity as well, but, and for many years now, broadcaster. So Mike Milbury decides to walk out after the game last night, and because he recently joined Twitter. It's not that long ago. that he joined Twitter.
Oh, geez, it was just May.
Yeah. So, and I immediately followed him. That was an auto follow for me. Okay.
Why is that, Steve?
Oh, because you know that there's going to be some things said. And so, all right, why don't we just start with this? And we'll get back to what you think about the actual question for our web poll question of the day, brought to you by the Tool and Equipment Store. So Milbury calls the game at NBC. Here's the tweet. There's so many things. There's a lot to unpack here, okay? On another worldly night, that's how it begins, Space Needle is an appropriate backdrop. Insane Columbus TB game. God bless both teams for a great effort. Okay, so right there, insane Columbus TB game. God bless both teams for great effort. If that's just the tweet, okay, anybody disagree with that, really? He's just saying what a crazy game, what a great game. Goes on. Enough, though. I believe we should end these games sooner via 3-on-3 or a shootout after a time. What do you think, right? We've all done that. We're thinking about something. Let's throw out a question on Twitter. We'll just do a bit of a straw poll. Okay, there's a picture attached to this tweet. The picture is very blurry. It looks like it was taken with a flip phone that might be 20 years ago, 20 years old, something like that. And as he is in Toronto, the picture is of the CN Tower last night. Tweet begins, on another worldly night, Space Needle is an appropriate backdrop. That is so, honestly, I thought he was trolling everybody, you know, intentionally saying something stupid just to get people going. That happens, right? You know, I think we've all maybe have done that from time to time. But then I don't know if Mike Milbury deserves the benefit of that doubt.
Not at all.
And then to continue on, I don't think you're going to get a lot of support for ending these games sooner with 5-on-5. But he thought that was a Space Needle when he's in Toronto. A lot of action on that tweet. A lot of responses.
Oh, my God. Yeah. First of all, I like that it appears as though the CN Tower or the Space Needle is lit up in Raptors colors. Can't tell with that flip phone picture that you mentioned. But yeah, that's horrendous take. He said that during the broadcast as well, too. Like, oh, this is boring. I would rather end with a shootout. Or like he was commenting on it during the game. And yeah, a lot to unpack there. It's all terrible. It's been a rough go for him. He's had a couple moments on air where he said some pretty, I guess, silly things, and people are just all over him. And I know, like, a guy like that, people are waiting to be all over and to point out mistakes or just horrendous takes. But he's doing it to himself. It's been game one of the first round, and he's had a few memorable moments already.
You're
Hammer.
This. Like, to Creature's point here, this picture is absolute garbage as well. Everything is out of focus.
It's like he was
like
speedwalking.
Exactly. I'm going to run and take a picture. I've got places to be in this bubble. I got to get back to my hotel room.
Well, if he's running, it's a long way from Toronto to Seattle to get a picture of the Space Needle. So he was in a hurry.
Just how out of touch are you? Does he have Seattle on the brain because of the NHL franchise, because of the Kraken?
Don't give him an out.
Don't give him any excuses whatsoever. It's just so poor. Poor. I want to hope and pray he does this just to catfish people.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that's the case, but, oh, man, I don't know if he's that bright.
I would say, like, most other people, I would think, all right, that is so absurd. Like, that we've all brain farted in our lives. I'll concede, right? Sometimes you have a brain fart, but this one, it's like, you know what? I don't know what's going on here. I really don't. I don't think you're trying to catfish people either. You thought that worldly experience, Space Needle.
You can catch this tweet. We have retweeted it at TSN 1200. So if you haven't come across it, or just go to @RealMikeMilbury. either way, you can catch this. It's real. The picture's brutal.
it's real, it's and it's spectacular. Right?
Do you think he reads his mentions? Like, does he have any does he have any idea what's going on Twitter, or does he just kind of open his phone up, send tweet, close phone? Like, does he even follow anyone? Like,
I would say that maybe somebody has at least mentioned to him at this point, that if he doesn't check, that, hey, Mike, you know that tweet you sent out? It's getting a little traction. You know, it's still trending in my timeline, right?
He's following 33 people.
Okay.
And as you can guess, they're all, you know, hockey folks. Although I see we have Julian Edelman on there amongst Craig Button and Brendan Burke and Nick Kiprios and David Amber and all sorts of NHL talking heads.
Okay. All right. Thoughts? Send them in at 12-1200. I don't know how to move on from something this absurd, but here we are. I asked a question before the break here, so why don't we play the sound from that? I think if you're the Jackets, you're a little miffed on this. And I know because we got the feed, the NBC feed last night, a lot too with some of the commentary and spliced in throughout. And generally speaking. And I know that Cassie Campbell thought that it was a non-call as well on the Sportsnet coverage. To me, that's a call because Seth Jones gets called for pretty much the exact same play on Anthony Cirelli earlier in the game, in a game where really there weren't a lot of penalties. I mean, the power play that was given the other way just before that sequence is one of those black and white ones, puck over glass. Got to call that, right? That's a penalty. So there you go. We have to make that call. So here it is. Here is a call, or here is Seth Jones post game, talking about basically the non call with Victor Hedman tracking down Cam Atkinson just before really the game winning goal when Jones had a penalty called against him earlier in the game when he was doing the same type of thing to Anthony Cirelli.
We didn't really get an explanation. I would like them to come up here and give an explanation. You know, I get a call, pretty much the same thing. I don't even know if mine's, even a call. But this is the exact same thing on Hedman. And I don't, this shading to me was, I don't know, it's kind of suspect all night, so.
John Tortorella, by the way, began his availability with a statement saying, don't ask me about that.
Yeah, I think it was Aaron Portsline. First question from Aaron Portsline. All right, first off, I'm not talking about the non-call.
Yeah. Well, John Tortorella has a history of being fined hundreds of thousands of dollars for speaking out of turn. So that's part of the reason why he clams up as well.
Saving
his post-game
wallet.
Availability. Yeah. All right, Creature, start with you here. Am I on an island here? I honestly, I think that's BS. I think if Jones is a call, then I think Hedman's a call as well.
I think it's a call. I keep going back and forth. The difference I think is Jones gets his hands for sure, whereas Hedman doesn't. It doesn't appear that he gets Atkinson's hands, but he brings his stick across his body, and I'm pretty sure he makes Atkinson fall because he wraps like the stick hits the shins.
And his free hand is on his shoulder,
yeah,
back
and he's
area.
He's pushing on his back. So yeah. He takes away a scoring chance. So I lean towards it should be a call. And I'm also not a fan of changing the rules in overtime because it's overtime. Like, I can see if it's like a tiny little hook on a guy in the neutral zone or something, but if you're and you don't want to end a game like that, like with a chintzy call. But if you're taking away a scoring chance, like how is there not a call if you called something pretty much the same earlier in the game? Like I'm leaning towards I think there should be a call. But I will admit that I think that the difference is Jones catches his hands on his penalty earlier in the game.
Hammer?
Yeah, I would have been okay with it if he got stick on puck first from behind. But, man, I mean, I'm just about to send out a tweet at TSN 1200 with both plays from Seth Jones and Victor Hedman. And, man, they look awfully similar. Absolutely. And the Creature's absolutely right. You take away his scoring opportunity. You're directly behind him. Your hand's on his back. You wrap around with your stick. You miss the puck. And then he falls down and crashes into the net. Absolutely. And I'm cheering for Tampa in this series, but, man, you got to call it. It's got to be equal.
See, here's where I come down. I'm fine with if it's two non-calls, because I think both Jones and Hedman, they do a great job of tracking the player, and really they didn't do anything either egregious. You could make the argument, it's like, you know what? It's, you know, that's kind of a great play by both players as well. And if you wanted to go letter of the law, free hand comes off, gets on to the player. Okay, sure, it's a penalty. Then call them both the same. But I would have been fine in both cases, non-calls for both as well. Just pick one here, okay?
I think that's
like, just
why...
Just be consistent.
Yeah, I think that's why I'm not, like, outraged that there wasn't a call, is because I keep... Like, I'm looking at the video over and over and over, and it's like... Yeah, I think it's a call, but I could see, I don't know. It's just tough because one was and one wasn't. And even, like, if you look at the angle on the Jones play where you don't see necessarily that it hit hands, like, the play itself looks not even close to as bad as the overtime play on Hedman, because, like, the Tampa forward still gets a shot off, doesn't fall, where Atkinson is basically hauled down on a breakaway. So it looks worse, but then you just keep seeing different angles and everything. So it's tough, but I probably would have preferred to see a call there. And especially, like, I don't remember which overtime was, because there's so many of them. It was either the first or the third. I honestly don't remember, but Nick Foligno's high-sticking penalty, like, he slashes a stick and it rides up and barely clips a guy in the face. Like if you're going to say, okay, we're going to call everything and we're going to award a power play in overtime, no matter, like, we're not putting our whistles away, so whatever, like, how are you not doing it on the Atkinson play? So I think they're probably, I don't, what do you think? Do you think there should be a penalty shot or a penalty?
Oh, I don't know if that'd be penalty shot at that for either, because I'll say this, like, both Hedman and Jones, by the time that they got close enough to each player, the player, like, Cirelli and Atkinson still had some body position on them, but it wasn't like a desperation, I am just hacking this guy down and just taking it away, because Hedman and Jones are both such great skaters. They did a great job to, you know, get semi almost parallel by the end of the play, right? So I'm fine with call a penalty on both or don't call a penalty on both, but I'm saying no penalty shot on both, regardless. If you decided to go down the penalty road, but anyways, you can understand.
Can you imagine a penalty shot in the fifth overtime?
Man,
all I can think of is, like, so. Big Daddy when his penalty shot in overtime, and the kid wants the kangaroo song. Yeah. That's all I can think. Penalty shot in overtime. This never happens.
Well, that would be maybe one situation where you would get more excited, like we used to, about penalty shots before the shootout, right? Because it was so rare, you just never saw the one-on-one. But now it's like, we see that all the time.
Now Milbury wants to see it all the time
with shootouts. Yeah, right. All right, so cast your vote on our website, Tool and Equipment Store web poll question of the day: would you want to continue to see continuous 5-on-5? We saw the fourth longest game in NHL history. They were just a couple of minutes from eclipsing the Keith Primeau game from 20 years ago, when, you know, sorry, Tugger. And by the way, Ron Tugnut's going to join AJ and Dean later today. It's Gordy today with AJ later today at 1 o'clock, I think. Ron Tugnut's going to come on, because Tugger's got the epic regular season 70 save performance, right, back in the day with the Nordiques against the Bruins. So we'll talk more about that later today. With somebody's experience, a very busy workload in goal. All right, we'll take a break. And Hammer has tweeted out the side-by-side, if you want to check it out, the Jones play and the Hedman play from the TSN 1200 Twitter account. As TSN Mornings continues in a moment on TSN 1200.
Off.